Take your Bibles and turn them back to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter number 5, that's where we were at last week. And we're continuing our theme and our thought dealing with an extraordinary nature in exchange for an ordinary nature. Or you could say a saintly nature for a sinful nature. Amen. However you want to say it. Amen. But Galatians chapter number 5, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1 again, getting our jumping verses here. Of course, you recall we finished the works of the flesh in verses 19 through 22 and talked about how abominable manifestations they do give to us. Amen. Others can clearly see it by the word manifest. Verse number 1, Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, and number 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So Paul is saying, now that you're saved, don't get involved in the law again. It can't do anything but tangle you into bondage. Verse 13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. And read 14 with me. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen. So you look to your left or your right, that's the person that you should love. Amen. You look behind you, that's the person you should love. You look in front of you, that's the person you should love. And all of you should look up here and love me. Amen. I'm giving you the truth of the word of God. Verse number 16 says, this I say, then walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why? Verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So Paul is saying, if you walk in the Spirit, you're going to make sure that you're loving others. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're going to make sure that you do verses 18, 19, 20, and 21, which you do not want to do. He lets you know that the verses in verses 18, 19, 20, and 21 are bad, but he says there's a change here. The word but denotes a change, a contrast, totally opposite of what we just read. This is the beginning of the extraordinary nature. Read verses 22 and 23 with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He says, if you do those things, there's no law against any of these things. Nothing saying you can't do that. On the contrary, if you're in the Spirit, you should do these things. Amen. And that's what he's signifying right there. Last week, we saw what is the extraordinary nature. The extraordinary nature is the Holy Spirit of God, or the Holy Ghost in you. We also saw what is the design of the extraordinary nature. The design is to fulfill godly life through you. Amen. We get the Holy Spirit of God to live a holy, godly life. Amen. And then we saw what is the duty of the extraordinary nature, and it's to produce fruit. Amen. And that fruit starts in verse number 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Last week we saw love, and that's what's going to be manifest. This comes straight from the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot love God's way without God's Spirit. Amen. And love was the foundational state, and we found that it is the basis for everything, and that's where everything starts. Today we'll start looking at the emotional state. Emotional state is joy and peace, and that's where our mental stability comes from. By the way, I mentioned this last week, if there's an emotionally unstable Christian, often it's due to their emotional state of joy and peace being out of focus. That's normally what's going on. Not all the time, but oftentimes that's what's going on. Amen. Father, bless now as we begin looking at the emotional state that all of us have, Lord. If we're saved today, we have the possibility to walk in joy and to walk in peace. Lord, not all men walk in joy, not all men walk in peace. That's why it behooves us to make sure our emotional state is what it needs to be, because others may not be what they need to be. And we need to be joyful despite them. We need to be at peace despite them. And so, Lord, our emotional stability hinges and rides on the emotional state that we have in our own lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. If we're not saved here today, I pray that, Lord, that person, that man, woman, boy, or girl would accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior for the payment of their sins and be gloriously born again. Lord, minister to our hearts today. Help our ears to be open on purpose. Help our attention to be arrested on purpose. And help us, Lord, to make sure that we listen to receive and put into practice the Word of God, Lord, so that we can leave here differently than when we came in. This is something that we all must have in our lives, Lord. That's an emotional state. Nothing worse than an emotionally wrecked Christian, God. And you don't want us to be that way. You want us to be emotionally stable. And so, Lord, help us with this emotional foundation of joy and peace in our lives. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Use me this morning, Lord. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit that I may speak, thus saith the Lord. And Lord, anoint the ears of the hearers that they may hear, thus saith the Lord, so they may do, thus saith the Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Save a soul, change a life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning, and Miss Antoinette has our special.
Lately I've been looking back along this winding road to the old familiar markers of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than a cliche. There's no better way to tell you than to say, God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. Times replay, and I can see that I've cried some bitter tears. But I feel his arms around me as I face my greatest fears. You see, I've had more gains than losses, and I've known more joy than hurt. As his grace has rolled upon me, undeserved, God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good. For God has been my Father, my Savior, and my friend. His love is my beginning, and His love will be my end. I could spend forever trying to tell you everything He is. But the best thing that I can say is this: God's been good in my life. I've been blessed beyond my wildest dreams when I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, I wouldn't change them if I could. 'Cause through it all, God's been good.
Amen. Thank you, Antoinette. How many of y'all can say God's been good in your life? Amen. I know I can. God's been good in my life. Amen. And with that said, then that means we're going to talk about joy today. Amen. Everybody should have joy. Amen. How many of y'all got teeth in here? Amen. So we should see a lot of this today. Amen. I know what you're talking about, preacher. Joy. Amen. I got some joy. That's a good thing. Amen. Well, amen. We're going to talk about that today. Last week, we began looking at the extraordinary nature, and we did talk about foundational state. Everything starts with love, and love is a foundation. And we saw three things about love last week, how God showed us how to love by giving, for God so loved the world that he gave. Then we saw how God showed his love, and that's why love is the greatest thing that there is out there. Everything should be done and motivated by love if we're Christians today. And then the third thing we saw is that God showed us who to love, and it goes to everybody. Everybody is the recipient of your love. You say, preacher, I don't love certain people. I hate some people, amen. Well, that's not a fruit of the Spirit, amen. What you should hate is the sin, but love the sinner. Amen. Now, husbands are not going to always do things that wives love and vice versa. Children are not going to always do things that parents love and vice versa. Amen. And we should hate the sin, but love the sinner. That's what God does. God hates the sin. God's never going to embrace your sin and say, oh, yeah, I love your sin. Yeah, that's so good to me. No, God's never going to say that. Matter of fact, God will try to beat the devil out of you. And he'll try to beat the sin out of you. Amen. And a good parent was trying to beat the devil out of a child, amen. God's way, though, amen. It's got to be God's way. I'm not talking about banging their heads up against the wall. That's not God's way, amen. Say, I'm going to knock some sense in them. No, you knock what sense they got out of them, amen. That is the wrong way. But God has an exercise way to do that. And so talking about this idea of the next thing in the fruit of the Spirit, love being the foundational state, then the next two words say joy and peace. Joy and peace. How many of y'all want joy? Amen. How many of y'all want peace? Amen. I don't think there's anybody that would say, I don't want to be peaceful. I want to be at war. Amen. You are a confused person. Amen. Everybody wants joy. So starting with the foundational state, everything is built upon love. However, our emotional state determines our mental stability. And it is anchored by our joy and our peace. So in other words, once you have love as your foundation, let's just imagine this being our foundation of love, amen. Then on top of your love should be your joy and your peace, and they should be anchored down, holding on to love. Everybody got that? So joy and peace is holding on. And by the way, they're all one collective fruit. And so the foundational state is formed, then the emotional state determines my mental stability and is anchored by joy and peace. Amen. The emotional state begins with joy. Joy is defined as cheerfulness or a calm delight or gladness. It's being delightfully calm in and through the most adverse situations. By the way, when you have adverse situations, normally the joy goes out. My daughter talked about a flat yesterday. I had asked my boys, I said, hey, we had begun soul winning. We were good to go. Amen. Time was over. We had run some errands and things like that. And I said, let's go home, boys. Have some menfolk time. What y'all going to do when you get home? They said, well, we're going to play video games, get our chores done, blah, 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 blah. I said, I'm going to get my work done, and we're going to relax and have a good old afternoon. And as we started to drive, my joy got attacked. My wife called me, honey, we just had a flat. It seemed like when she said that the car stopped. Joy said, this is where I get out of. And Joy stepped out and closed the door and left me and my boys by ourselves with no joy, because Joy just stepped out at that juncture. And I looked at the boys in the rearview mirror, and they didn't have this on their faces. You know, typical boys, how they react when their plans get ruined. Oh, man. It's 100 degrees outside. And what further complicated the issue, I said, well, I have been meaning to tell you boys that I was going to teach you how to change a flat tire. And today is a perfect day to illustrate that. And so my boys tried to get joy to come back into the car. But they could find no joy in what I was telling them. And I tried to get joy to come back in so at least I could be joyful in the situation. So joy came up and sat next to me. The boys were in the back stewing with, I don't know what they were stewing, but it wasn't joy, it wasn't back there. Amen. And oftentimes that's what happens. Adverse situations tend to happen in our lives and we're not delightfully calm in and through situations anymore. Joy is an inner understanding, knowing God's in control in good times and bad. Joy is believing and living Romans 8:28 every day of our lives for all things. What does Romans 8:28 say? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And that flat had a purpose. One of the purposes was to teach my sons how to change a flat. They had never done it before. Another one was so that I could free my wife up to get her away from the situation so she could have some free time. Another one was to give me some patience because I didn't have any. I think I gained a little bit more after yesterday. The majority of us probably spend most of our Christian lives on happiness than joy. Somebody say amen. We spend most of our Christian existence on happiness than joy. Say, preacher, what's the difference? Happiness depends on what's happening around me. Joy comes from within me. Say that again. Joy comes from within me. Happiness depends on what's happening around me. Joy comes from within. Joy doesn't depend on what you have, but who you have. Amen. And by the way, nobody will ever be able to take Jesus Christ from you if you're saved today. Amen. Why? He is in you. He dwells in you. He will stay in you. You can grieve him. Amen. You cannot listen to him. You can quench him. You can do a lot of things to him, but he will never leave you. Why? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. So he will never leave you. So that means your joy should never leave you. Amen. That's why I say most of us spend most of our time hanging around with happiness than joy. Happiness is easy. Me and my boys was happy before we got that call. We was about ready to slap five. Yeah, we're going to get home. Go home and have menfolk time. Yeah, ladies ain't here. Yeah, we can walk around. Yeah. Can't do that when the mama's around. We had to be dignified and gentlemanlike. But when mama's not there, boy, don't ever turn that webcam on. They were running around the house. Yeah, buddy, menfolk time. Yeah. And then we got that call. And because our joy, our excitement was predicated upon happiness and what was going to happen, when I got the phone call, that's when joy stepped out of the car. Joy said, you won't be needing me right now because your situation is about to change. And in the flesh, you're going to not like what happens to you. But if you had me stay in the car, you'd be fine because you would see the bigger picture. I beckoned that joy, please come back. Please come back. He said, no, you're in the flesh. I'm not gonna be around while the flesh is there. And so I had to kick the flesh out. My boys hang on to the flesh in the back. Joy got in with me. I was joyful. And I was seeing the bigger picture. I was seeing the bright. I even told my wife, honey, you go ahead and take my car. And you can see the look on the boy's head. If there was one of those captions over their heads, it was saying, how dare you go away when we're in the hot sun and change a tire in the air-conditioned car that we just got out of. At least sit here and encourage us, but you're going shopping? Whilst we sweat? Of course, I encouraged him with joy to make a man out of him. That's what young boys do. They do dirty work. I said, don't expect your wives to do this. They were like, oh, let's see, my wife, you can fix her own flat. Hey, you weasels, you better not do that, amen. You better change that flat for your wife, amen. What am I saying? Happiness depends on happenings around me. Joy comes from within me. Joy doesn't depend on what you have, but who you have. Joy brings rejoicing and merriness because of the goodness of God, the plan of God, and the work of God in the believer's life. Amen. You understand that God has his goodness and he's working. You understand God has his plan and he's working. You understand this work is part of God's working. And joy says, I understand. This is not as bad as I think it is. And that God's got a plan. The lady's just saying, God is working. Working a plan.
However, as we walk in the Spirit, we need to be on guard and aware for the inevitable joy robbers. How many of y'all had a joy robber this morning visit your house? Stick up your joy. Amen. How many of y'all had one driving to church? Amen. How many of y'all had a joy robber yesterday? Amen. Come and hold you hostage. Give up the joy, please. Give it up. Give it up. I don't want you to be joyful. Give it up. Come on. Give it up. That's not all of it. Give me that joy. You have nothing to be joyful about. Give it. Now here, I'll leave you with sorrow and sadness, hopelessness, grief, and misery. Take that. And close the door. And you know how you look afterwards? And joy's waving. You could have had me. And then pass away here. As joy waves as you drive down the street. Aloha. You had me for a while, but now you've got happiness. And happiness depends on happening. And bad things are happening now. Hey, when you have happiness, that's what happens. But when you have joy, joy is in you. Joy is of Jesus. Joy is Christ. And it doesn't leave you. So when bad things happen, amen, you don't get frustrated. You understand the bigger picture. So these joy robbers, before we get into this very short message this morning, let's identify some joy robbers. Who are these joy robbers? You know them personally, and so do I. There's something or someone to take your joy away if you let them. If you let them. What's the first joy robber on my list? One that I'm very familiar with. It's called inconvenient situations. Inconvenient situations. Inconvenient situations can rob us if we let them, if we're in the flesh. Amen. In the spirit, inconvenient situation won't bother you at all. You'll see it as Romans 8:20. This is working together for my good. Inconvenient situations will frustrate you. What are inconvenient situations? A breakdown, a break-in, dental emergencies, medical issues, dental issues. They're all predicated on bad timing. This is not a good time. You ever had someone call you and say, this is not a good time? What you're saying is, you're trying to inconvenience me. You have a peddler come and knock on your door. You're saying, this is not a good time. Amen. You have a bill come and you can't pay it. You're saying, this is not a good time. You're trying to inconvenience me. You ever had some dental work done and you don't have the money? Inconvenient time. Amen. Medical bill, inconvenient time. Credit card bill, inconvenient time. Flat tire, inconvenient time. Inconvenient situations will rob your joy if you let them. If you let them. Hey, but joy says, I don't have to go anywhere. I can be right here and I can console you. I can comfort you. I can calm you. Because by definition, I am cheerfulness. By definition, I am calm delight. By definition, I am gladness. By definition, I am delightfully calm in and through the most adverse situations. And if you have me, you'll be fine. But if you leave me, you'll be left to the flesh. And in inconvenient situations, your flesh and my flesh does the obvious. Get frustrated. My boys had such a good attitude yesterday. I was so glad when they picked Joy back up, amen. I mean, when they saw me all with joy, and they were like, hey, what you got that we don't have? Well, I picked Joy back up. I don't know what y'all got back there, amen. And by the time we got into the business, I mean, they were pulling up their shoulders. I mean, Gregory was pulling up his sleeve. He was flexing out there, lifting the tire up. Turn. Pull the stone so I can see how strong he was. Somebody came by and said, where's the bank? Gregory's like, that away. And so it's that away. That away. And Gregory said, talk to my dad. I think it's that way. Amen. Josh was all dirty. He was getting up under the car. Dad, what do you want me to do? Hey, let's do this. They picked back up Joy right along the way. They said, man, this is not so bad. This is actually good. I said, guess what? After we get done, we can go to EG's. They're like, that's even better. I'm glad we got joy, because misery wasn't going to get them no EG's. It was going to get them discipline. Amen. What am I talking about? Inconvenient situations can rob us if we let them. Inconvenient situations are always marked by bad timing. But then there's insensitive people. They can rob us if we let them. What the heck? They say the wrong things. They do the wrong things. They don't consider our feelings. Insensitive feelings. If you cared, you would have. Well, obviously, I guess I don't care. And that's not always true. Sometimes it's just the place that we're at that point. And so insensitive people can be a joy robber if we let them. Inconsistent people can be a joy robber. They can rob us if we let them. They let us down. They trip us up. Amen. They make us fall. Inconsiderate people can rob us if we let them. They don't seem to care. They don't seem to try. Ineffective people can rob us if we let them. They mean well, but they don't often do well. Amen. But they tell you, I got your back. Amen. Unreliable and unfaithful people can rob us if we let them. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:19, they're like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Now, folks, I've had a foot out of joint, and it does not serve me well. What am I saying? These are joy robbers. Unkind and uncaring people can rob us if we let them. They administer bad treatment. They administer rude treatment at times. Amen. You see them all the time in the grocery store. They got a bad day and they want to take it out on you, the paying customer. And you're looking like, I'm giving you good money and you're being rude to me? I don't have to give you anything. And they have this attitude like, I don't care. I don't own the store anyway. Who is your manager? I am the manager. Ooh. It's bad when they are the manager, amen? I'm sure you can think of more joy robbers. But notice I stated they can rob us if we let them. Insensitive people, inconsistent people, inconsiderate people, ineffective people, unreliable, unfaithful people, unkind, uncaring people, and inconvenient situations can rob us. But notice what Jesus said in John 16:22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but notice this, but I will see you again and your heart shall rejoice. And notice this phrase, and your joy no man taketh from you. John 16:22, look it up. And your joy no man taketh from you. That means that you and I forfeit it. That means that you and I give it away. That means that you and I are driving the vehicle of our lives and we actually tell joy to take a step outside the car. We forfeit our joy because nobody's going to take your joy from you. They can't because your joy is wrapped in Jesus. Amen. What am I saying, joy robbers? John Phillips had an interesting statement that I really like. He said, when you can't escape from the prison of your situation, joy allows you to escape in the prison of your situation. Why? Mental stability. Mental stability. When you can't escape from the prison of our situation, joy allows us to escape in the prison of our situations. So in other words, I can be in the situation and still escape. Why? I know that it's better at the end. I could see the Romans 8:28 in this. I understand that this is part of the all things that work together for good. So I can't escape the situation, but I have peace of mind. I have a calm delight. I have a cheerfulness knowing that it's not going to always be like this. There is something better coming. And so I can escape in the situation knowing that I'm already exercising down the road. I'm already down the road. How many of y'all remember this building we first bought, how in shambles it was? Amen. And there were some people that said, there's nothing good going to come out of that building. We'll never get that building finished. And all the while, I exercise that joy down the road in the situation. I said, look, I can't escape this situation that I'm in, but I understand what situation I'm going to be in down the road. So I'm looking ahead. I'm looking further, and I can't escape this situation, but I can escape in this situation. Why? I know what's coming. And by the way, I'm preaching where people thought I would never preach. But I had joy in the situation, and I said, I see what's going on down there. I understand what's going on, and although I don't like the present situation, I'm already in the future situation, and I can stomach this a whole lot better. Hey, people go through a bitter divorce and a bad turmoil and bad communication and things like that. Hey, you need to already see this thing as patched up in the name of Jesus. I see children that are going wayward, see them already walking for God down the road, amen, but you got to do your part. You can't just say, well, I'm just trusting Jesus. You better trust Jesus by the word of God. Yes, sir, Amen. Hey, what am I saying here? When we can't escape from the prison of our situations, joy allows us to escape in the prison of our situations. The ending of 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, but will with the temptation also make way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Sometimes that escape is the escape that we have in our mental stability, knowing that this is all things, and it's going to get better. I'll give you two quick things here. We're going to get set up for our baptism here. Two quick things. First of all, when the joy robbers come, true biblical joy allows us to escape in the situation, not from the situation. And we need the joy roper when the joy robber comes. We need the joy roper. What I'm talking about, lasso. And say, joy, you ain't going nowhere. We stand right here. Because the joy robber's going to come. And you got to rope that joy and bring it back. Say, preacher, what can I have joy in? Number one, we can and should have joy in salvation. Because I'm saved. They may go over to Luke chapter number 10 real quick. Luke chapter number 10. I can and should have joy in my salvation. The fact that I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm born again, God is my Father, amen. I'm not going to hell. I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound, hallelujah and praise God. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 17. By the way, joy is what we are when we get saved. We have a calm delight. We're glad we're not going to hell. We have a calm delight that our sins are forgiven. We know God's our Father. And we know Jesus Christ is our friend. We have joy or rejoicing in everything because we know that Jesus Christ is the salvation of God. Notice what it says down there in verse 17. The disciples had gone away preaching. In verse number 1, it says, after these things in verse 1, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face in every city and place whither he himself would come. They came back rejoicing in verse 17. Notice what it says. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, what they return with? They return with joy. What is joy? Calm delight. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They were excited. They said, we're casting out devils. The devils were subject to us. We'd go in and say, come out of him, thou unclean spirit. And the devil would leave and the people would get right with God. They said, man, great things happen. Notice what Jesus tells them with this joy they had. Even the devils are subject unto us. And he said, verse 18, and he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, regardless of what I just said, in this rejoice not. He said, don't put your rejoicing in that the devils are subject to you. Don't put your joy in the things that you're doing. Don't put the joy in your ability to preach. Don't put your joy in the ability of you to teach a Sunday school class. Don't put your joy in keeping the nursery. Don't put your joy in driving the bus. Don't put your joy in being an usher. Don't put your joy in handling the money. Don't put your joy in witnessing. Don't put your joy in anything. Don't put your joy in your children. Why? All those things can leave you. Everything can leave you. Everything that you see, everything that you possess can be gone. You talk to somebody over in some of those nations that get persecuted and get everything taken from them. One thing people can't take from them is their joy. Why? Their joy is in Jesus. He said, don't rejoice in that, that the spirits are subject unto you. But rather, what? Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He said, if you're going to be excited about anything, you need to be excited you're saved. I'm heaven bound and hell proof. God is my Father. I'm on my way to glory. Nobody can take that away from me. My friend, if you're not saved here today, you have very little to be excited about when it comes to eternity. Because that's just a downward spiral. It's a downward spiral. He said, I know you're excited the devils were subject to you. I know you're excited about all this preaching. I know you're excited about that. He said, but don't rejoice in that. That's temporary. One of these days, they're going to be after you. You're going to be hiding up in an upper room. The Jews are going to be trying to kill you. The Gentiles will be trying to kill you. Don't rejoice in that. He said, rejoice that you're saved. Your names are written down in heaven. Christians should demonstrate joy in salvation. If we don't demonstrate joy in anything else, salvation will never, ever leave us. Is your name written in heaven?
If so, rejoice. That's to bring you joy. Hey, folks, when I think about the I got saved, I get gladness all over my heart. I get a calm delight thinking, man, I'm glad I got to settle that day. Man, I'm glad I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, I had my doubts. Yeah, I was leading a bad life. Yeah, I was into drugs. Yeah, I was into alcohol. Yeah, I was smoking. Yeah, I had foul language. Yeah, I was breaking all the commandments. But one day Jesus came into my life. February 3rd, 1991, I fell on my face and joy came into my heart. Joy came into my life. Why? I got saved. My wife got saved with me. Nothing better than having a saved wife. Amen. And a saved husband. Is your name written in heaven? You should bring joy. An acronym I picked up years ago when I was an early Christian. It said, joy. Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. Many of you probably heard that acronym. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You don't get your feelings hurt at all when you're last one. Amen. But you get your feelings hurt a whole lot when self is on the throne. Our joy leaves oftentimes because many times we spell joy backwards. Yoj. Yourself first, others second, and Jesus last. Jesus gets the back seat, amen. He's in the trailer, pickup trailer back there. Now people have that thing, God is my co-pilot. No, God needs to be your pilot. God don't need to be nobody's co-pilot. He needs to be the pilot. He needs to drive the plane. He knows where he's going. If God is the co-pilot, you're in trouble already because you got your hands on the steering wheel. You need to let that thing go. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And life I now live in the flesh. I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Hey. Jesus first. Others second and yourself last. By the way, when it comes to our joy, a sour Christian is a contradiction of the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody see? Go back to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance against us. Anybody see sour puss in there? Anybody see grumpy Greg in there? Anybody see down David in there? Or no, we got a David in here, so I can't use that one. I'm trying to use people's names that's not in here. Amen. Or anybody see pale Paul in there? Amen. Or sad Sally in there? That's not a fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long. These are all upbeat things that happen in the emotional stability of a Christian, a child of God. And so when it comes to this, a sour Christian is a contradiction of the fruit of the Spirit. Some folks seem always sour, like Scrooge. If you find yourself always sour, rejoice in your salvation. Amen. If you find a Christian that's sour or not having joy, their emotional stability is not on the foundation. Because it should be love as my foundation. Then my emotional stability should be love, joy, and peace. So number one, we can and should rejoice in our salvation. Now, folks, if we rejoice in salvation, everything else comes easy after that. Because most people, when the going is good, are going pretty good. My boys was good to go yesterday before we got that phone call. They were doing pretty good. But it's when adversity comes in, it's when we got problems. So first of all, we should rejoice, have joy in salvation, but then we should have joy in adversity situations. Go over to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Because we all are going to have adversity in our lives. Adversity. I should have joy in my salvation, but also I should have joy in adverse situations. Jesus demonstrated joy in adverse situations. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who should we be looking unto? Jesus. If you're looking at your situation, by the way, your situation will always change. Your joy will always change. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Focus on him. My stability should be on him. If my stability is on Jesus, my emotional stability of joy and peace will not be shaken or shattered or shook up. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, what's that? For the joy that was set before him. What'd you do, Lord Jesus? Endured the cross. He went through the adversity of the cross. What else did he do? Despising the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, notice this, that endured such contradiction of sinners. They called him everything but a child of God. And that's exactly who he was. The Son of God. God Almighty, contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be what? wearied and faint in your mind. In other words, before you let your joy out the door, before the joy gets out the door, consider him. Notice what he went through. And notice how he went through it. And what did he do? He looked down the road and he saw the joy at the end when he could bring all his sons to glory, when he could bring all the ladies to glory, when everybody would be saved in Christ. He looked down the road. He said, I can deal with the shame. I can deal with this contradiction. I can deal with the cross. I can deal with all this stuff because I know what's coming. Folks, when you and I go through hard times, our joy leaves because it's on happening. And not the joy in salvation and the joy that's stable in adversity. He said, consider him who endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Folks, over and over again, the Bible lets us know about our joy. I don't know about you, but yesterday for me was just a stark reminder that I forfeit my joy. Really? Jesus said, no man takes your joy from you. No one can take it from you. That's like saying somebody can steal your salvation. That's like saying the devil made me do it. It's not possible. You do it of your own free will. Just like Joy was trying to get out the car when me and my boys were there. And we had to tell Joy, get back in the car. We're not going the rest of the day like this. We're not going home as sour sand. Not going to happen. I'm not going to be around my wife with a bunch of pouty, puff-lipped children and a huffy husband. Not going to happen. Why? No man taketh it from me. I choose to have joy. You choose to have joy. Jesus Christ said, no man taketh it from you. Folks, if you have that foundation of love, start understanding that your emotional stability of joy and peace has to be anchored in that same love, the love of God. And that joy will take you through any adverse situation. That joy will keep you cheerfully calm. That joy will give you a calm delight. Let me warn you, if your enthusiasm is in things, that's happiness. And happiness depends on your happenings. And if nothing is happening to your liking, you won't have any joy. Amen. Your children, if it's not happening the way they want it to happen, they don't have any joy. Why? I'm going to do this. And you can't make me enjoy it either. And you're right. You can beat somebody until they're blue in the face. That's not going to happen. I remember many times my father said, you're going to enjoy this. I was like, mm-hmm, watch. I'm going to beat you. Beat me, and guess how I was getting beat. And after I was gone, guess how I was. What happened? My happiness, my enthusiasm was in things. But Jesus never leaves. He never leaves. I don't know where your joy is today. It's not in Jesus. It needs to be. If you've not received him as your personal Lord and Savior, receive him today. We're about to have a baptism here. Baptism doesn't save anybody. Baptism does signify that someone has already received Christ as Savior. And they're baptized to follow Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. If you're not saved today, I encourage you, have joy knowing that you're saved on your way to heaven. And when the adverse situations come, don't let joy out. Leave joy in, because we choose to give joy away. Jesus said, no man taketh it from you. I had to bow, my eyes are closed, and I'm looking around. Those that are getting baptized, you go ahead and step out towards the back, and this bed will meet you back there. The rest of us, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, talking about joy this morning. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Let me let you know something, that you will not have the joy of the Spirit if you're not saved here today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm about to pray in a minute and have an invitation. But if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'm not talking about your baptism or joining a church. I'm not talking about you praying a prayer or doing anything like that. I'm talking about accepting the love of God through Jesus Christ to be a Christian, to be saved, be forgiven of your sins. If you've never repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to save you from hell, you're in danger. My job as a pastor is to warn you. Without Jesus Christ, you can't get to heaven. But with Christ, you can get to heaven. Without Jesus Christ, hell awaits you. I want to pray for you this morning. With every head bowed and every eye closed and looking around, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, if you were to die right now and you're not sure that heaven is your home, I want to pray for you. I want to just do me a favor. Stick your hand up real quick. I'll acknowledge it. And you can put it right back down. Right where you sit. Man, woman, boy, or girl. Right where you're at. Raise your hand saying, preacher, pray for me. I'm not sure. I'm a Christian. If I die right now, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. I'm concerned about it. Pray for me. Anyone like that at all? Man, woman, boy, or girl. Amen. I see one hand. You may put it down. Appreciate your honesty. Is there another? Just honest. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to pick on you. I see that hand. You may put it down. Appreciate your honesty. Is there another one? Again, I'm not going to call you out. I just want to pray for you. Your decision has to be to come. I can't do that for you. Anyone like that at all? Anyone else? Join these two. Just concerned about it. Say, preacher, pray for me. Amen. Christian, don't let joy go. Don't let joy out. No man taketh it from you, Jesus said. Father, bless now these two that are honest with their hands raised, saying they acknowledge they're not sure that heaven is their home and they're concerned about it. Lord, I pray that you would give them boldness and comfort and consolation, Lord, and you would show them how they can be sure that heaven is their home. By letting us take the Bible and show them how they can be saved, and Lord, give them that courage that they need to come and let us show them and help them. Thank you for loving us this morning. I do pray for Christians as well, Lord, that our joy would be in Jesus Christ. And you said, no man taketh it from you. And Lord, help us to be steadfast, unmovable in adverse situations, knowing that you're on the throne of our hearts. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are still bowed. Our eyes are closed. No one looking around. Perhaps God spoke into your heart. Maybe you, like me, ran into a situation recently where joy was ready. And you were left with nothing but the flesh and the works of the flesh. Perhaps you want to get joy back in. Why don't you come to an old-fashioned altar? Say, Lord, help me to maintain my joy. Help, Lord, if we do, and if joy happens to step out because we forfeited joy, help us to just say, joy, please come back in. Lord Jesus, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, of thy salvation. Lord, fill me once again with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that if we do, Lord, you will be faithful and true to work in our lives. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for these that have come, and Lord, thank you for the baptism that we're about to partake in. Lord, work in our midst like only you can. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.